I'm on the phone with Robert, who's talking to me from the Midwest, who has an extremely compelling story to tell. Robert, first of all, I thank you for sharing, because I know there's a lot of personal content when people do these interviews, and I would never ask anyone to do it who hasn't accomplished something that I think is really dramatic. Could you start by explaining to the listeners what was going on, what the nature of the problem was when you first contacted me?
Sure. I had anxiety to the point where I was having a very difficult time talking with people, and it kind of permeated into my, you know, my job. You know, I'm in sales. I need to talk to people, and it just became a chore. It became very difficult to do. It's something that I really had to work at, and it became you know, awkward to the point where I thought that I wasn't doing my job very well, so I had to get treatment.
You're a very successful salesman. You're a pretty intense guy. Give a little more detail as to what was going on, the specific nature of how the anxiety was impacting you.
Yeah, I think my success in sales kind of heightened the problem in that, you know, I'd go to these meetings, whether it be awards meetings or regional meetings, and people would want to know, you know, what I was doing or what our team was doing and why we're doing so well, and the constant attention towards me really heightened my anxiety to the point where I was not, again, able to communicate and even share our strategies and, you know, our sales behavior to people that, you know, for all intents and purposes, they were just, you know, looking for direction. And at that point, I knew something was really wrong internally that had to be addressed. This anxiety was out of control, and I didn't know how to treat it. I didn't know how to calm it down. So I did a Google search, and I found Jonathan. And so here we are.
Let's try to put a typical situation under the microscope. You know you'd have a meeting, let's say, a few days down the road.
Yes.
Would you start worrying about the meeting in advance?
I would. I'd start worrying about the meeting probably a week in advance, and you know, I'd try to do a lot of exercise a few days before, certainly the morning of, just to try to get some of this energy away. And exercise seems to help, at least with me. But it would still there were still some rooted issues that were causing this anxiety that needed to be addressed, and again, it's why I went to Jonathan, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't exactly understand
what was going on. You know, the meeting is a week away. What was going on internally for you?
I think I had bad experiences in the past, and they just started to snowball, and this effect became where because you know, last time I had a meeting with this particular group of people, and I got filled with anxiety, then that's all I could think about. When I get back into that environment, I'm going to get filled with anxiety, and it's an extremely uncomfortable feeling, and I just, you know, I can't be myself, and I'm you know, it's almost like I'm consumed with fear, and it was terrible.
Okay, now, the anxiety itself that was affecting you at the meeting, you know, you had these negative memories in your brain. What exactly did that feel like on a physical and mental plane?
You know, physically, it's disabling. You know, it's you know, it's kind of hard. Everything is labored. Even moving around, breathing, everything is just labored. You're almost paralyzed. Mentally, my thoughts weren't crisp. I couldn't. I just felt like they were clustered or tangled, and I just felt like, you know, I was operating at like 30% of normal capacity, mentally and physically.
Would you say, I don't mean to lead you too much here, but would you say that this anxiety issue was affecting your overall mood?
Oh, yes, tremendously. You know, you start to lose confidence in yourself. You don't know what's going on. It's, you know, it's kind of confusing on why, you know, why this is happening. Certainly, you know, I think happiness gets fairly distant when you have these episodes on a routine basis, at
Did you find yourself avoiding any situations because of the anxiety?
You know, I did avoid a few situations. That's one thing about my my personality and my makeup is I try not to avoid things that are uncomfortable. That's just one of my core beliefs. So instead of avoiding things on a regular basis, I just threw myself in them. But it was getting worse, not better. So it was getting much more difficult for me to throw myself back in there because my performances were just terrible.
For the sake of relativity, on the Jonathan 1 to 10 scale, if you started the overall problem at a 1, the anxiety itself, the obsessive worry, anticipatorily about it, how is it impacting your mood, the different layers of the problem. If you started at a 1 and 10 is absolutely perfect in terms of resolution of the problem, where do you consider yourself presently?
Presently, I would say 7.
Give your reasoning.
I just feel really resolved. Even like this interview that we're having right now, if we were to try this in February, you would probably be listening to a mute line. I just physically could not answer questions. I couldn't put my thoughts together. It was bad. It was terrible. As far as my ability to communicate. Right now, I think, I'm doing about as good as I've ever done. I think maybe in the past, before I had this bout with anxiety, I may have said maybe I was like an 8. But now that I've had this experience, I'm still kind of going through the healing process and trying to figure out, how this has happened, and then kind of look back and reflect, how I can better it for the future. So I don't want to say that I'm worse than when I started. I'm just still going through the healing process. But I have I'm kind of an optimist by nature. But I have the utmost confidence that I can get this anxiety management down to where I'm going to answer that question to be a 9, hopefully in the future, because I have more understanding of anxiety, how it works, and also what influences anxiety, where I didn't know before.
Okay, now for the listeners, just to give them a time perspective, it's now July. And your reference was to February. Okay, so what you're saying is that in terms of the severity of the problem, you went from a 1 to a 7, okay, which is huge, and you did that in about a dozen sessions, and I don't want the average listener to this tape to think that can apply to everybody, because it can't, because 12 sessions is relatively short term, and one of the things that gets in the way of healing is sometimes people who are perfectionists like yourself and who have this kind of performance anxiety, they want to get better yesterday. So the impatience and the internalized anger, this is all a huge part of the process. But anyway, a 1 to a 7 in 12 sessions is extraordinary. You therefore become a role model. So my last major question to you is, in your own words, without saying, okay, I came to Jonathan and I learned whatever, okay, can you say can you explain what you did to get from a 1 to a 7 in 12 sessions?
Yeah, I think that you want to realize that time is on your side. And, like a metaphor I like to think about is that, I think anxiety is kind of like having a flesh wound, and time can either make it worse or make it better. And if you're listening to this audio session here, chances are that the way you're treating that wound is wrong, and you're promoting an infection. So if you can just turn your behavior around and look at it from a daily basis and, work with Jonathan, read his book, go through the audio program, do everything you can to try to turn it around, what happens is time, as opposed to making that wound worse, your behavior and your thought process will actually heal the wound, and that ultimately is what's going to cure your anxiety, and that's what I believe.
Okay, and part of what you did was you developed a new mindset. Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, there's a graph that Jonathan promotes that for me, I think what was really lacking is the critical parent bar on the graph was supercharged, and my logic for whatever reason just went out the window, And that's that. I believe that particular balance is a great environment for anxiety to grow to the point where it can become disabling. So that graph is very important. You can stare at it all day, and it won't help you. It's going to take time for you to readjust your brain and start actually thinking about some of the issues you have and try to step back and look at it logically as opposed to obsessing over critical points of things that have happened in your life or this kind of thing. And it is a thought process, and it does take time to turn it around. It's not going to happen overnight. I think that's what Jonathan's trying to stress. But I'm here to tell all the listeners it works, and you can help yourself. And listen to Jonathan or somebody like Jonathan, and talk about issues, because there's most likely, at least in my experience, there's probably some issues you don't know that are causing your anxiety. You just need to get them resolved, and if you can do that, it'll really help your anxiety, and it works. It absolutely works. Where I used to walk around filled with anxiety and would have a difficult time talking to people, especially in certain situations. I can go back in that same environment today, and have as of last week, and the anxiety just isn't there. It's not that I'm doing anything to prevent it. It's simply not there. So I mean, this is real. It's treatable, and be patient. And try to get your mind working in a more productive forward direction, and I think you'll get this resolved.
Robert, I thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.